حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Life and the meaning of life, to understand it, we divided it into three dimensions. You have the height of life, the length, and the width. In these three dimensions, life is understood. Someone who doesn't understand the meaning of life cannot find satisfaction nor happiness in life. The reason why people are depressed and often unhappy is because of the fact that the meaning of life is not understood by them, or they have the wrong idea of what life is. And when we look at the three dimensions of life, the first dimension being the length of life. Allah has made it clear that the length of life is forever. It is forever. Life, Allah did not give in order to take it back. He did not give life in order that He takes it back from us and says that that's all you have and that's all you will live. Allah has given life so that we can live forever. Eternal life. And when we look at the length of life, we see that if it is forever, then this phase that we are going through right now in this world is a very small portion, a fraction of the life that we are going to lead. Anyone who thinks that life is going to end obviously will lead a very depressed life, knowing that this blessing that he has is going to be finished, is going to come to a conclusion. And his mentality, his mindset would be in a depressive way looking at it that, you know what, this blessing is only going to be with me for a certain time. For example, if you look at any blessing that you get, if that blessing is short-lived and you only have it for a certain amount of time, then you would be more worried about losing it than having it. Allah, He gives the examples in this world when He gives you certain things to make us realize that. For example, one of the things Allah gives us is money, wealth. Now, when we don't have wealth, we all pray for it and hope for it. And when we do get it, now we hope and pray of not losing it. This is the idea. Why? Because of the fact that when you have something, you don't want to lose it. You don't want to be empty of it. And whenever Allah, He gave blessings in this world, you see that these blessings or these things that He has given us in this world to use and utilize, knowing that this world and this life of this world is temporary, so whatever is in this world is also temporary. It's not going to be with us forever. We will leave it here and go. But the one blessing that He gave us that is forever, we are not going to lose, is our life. Life is something we are not going to lose. We are going to have it. Right? Now obviously, we will go out from this phase, but we will live. And there is a life there. So, how much do we think of our life? How much do we think about our life? How much do we reflect on our life? How dear is our life to us? How much do we think? This is why when you look at the Quran, you see that it trains us to think in a certain way. Every time Allah speaks in the Quran, no matter what the issue is, you see at the end, He reminds us of our real life. He takes the whole issue there. In Akhirat. That life, there. Whatever the issue comes, it's all about Akhirat. It's there. So, when we look at this, we understand something that the conclusion or the realization and the maturation of every issue that we face in this life of dunya is our real life in the hereafter. Because as Allah says that inna dar al akhirah la hayal hayawan, that the akhirah, that the life there, He says that is the life. That is the life. That's life there. So whenever you see that Allah is trying to train our minds, now have our minds been trained like that? Are we thinking in those terms? For example, you know, when you came to the center here, or in the morning when you got up, you were wearing your clothes. And when you are wearing your clothes, obviously you choose clothes that are matching. Right? You know, something that is appealing to you, something that's good. That's why you wear the clothes you do. Right? So when you wore those clothes, were you thinking, how will my clothes be in my real life, in my akhirat? Have your mind gone there? Does your mind go there? And if it doesn't, then why is it not going there? Why are we not reflecting on our real life? On that life. You see, this is where the idea and the thinking and the mindset becomes real. We need to start really thinking of our life. Because most of us human beings, because of the fact that we feel that this is life here, and akhirat, hereafter, even if we believe in it, we think that this is a place of reward. Where, for example, when it's all over and done, and alhamdulillah, we get to go to Jannat. In Jannat, we are going to sit on a seat, and we will be fed there, either, you know, apple pie, cream pie, something like that, you know. And we are just getting the rewards for what we did. It's not just a place of reward. That akhirat is life. That's where we are going to live a life. It's actually a life, we will live it. That's why, for example, those who struggled in Allah's way, in your own life, in your own experience, the people who you were with, for example, in Al-Mahdi Center, you see, you had certain friends here, you prayed together, you gave together, you sacrificed together, and let's say Allah has given you a place in Jannat. So Allah here will not separate you from your friends, those who struggled with you. You'll say, enjoy the grace and the blessings of Jannat together with those people that you struggled with, so that you can have more pleasure. He will raise you up together. He says, be here together. Now, I will explain to you something that from here we'll go on. So here I'm just explaining the length of life. Length of life is forever, right? Something that's all I want you to understand until now. Now let's go to the height of life. Send a loud salawat. Our height, my friends. Now let me explain to you in a way that, you know, is understandable and very clear. What I mean by the height of life is what we achieve. What place do we achieve in our life? How far do we reach in our life? How far up can we go in our life? Now this height is determined not in the hereafter. How where are you in the hereafter? What position do you have? What level you're at? What neighborhood do you live in? What sort of post do you have there? What kind of elevation you have there in the hereafter? All depends on your life in this world. It all depends on your life here. Whatever you do here is what is making your position there. Whatever you do here. You see, understand this. Whatever small thing you do here, you will see it there. No matter how small it is, you will see it there. And you will see it there magnified billions of times. Now, I mean, you know, I'm just giving a number out there. When Allah says that فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى, whoever does an atom's weight of good or bad, he will see it. It means that to us it was so small here, but there it will be magnified in such a way that it will become humongous. Little thing that we thought was, this is nothing. I did this. The positions and the levels of Jannat, right? One salawat can make a difference of billions of light years in Jannat. One thing, for example, one person said one extra salawat, you see how much that is there. It's unimaginable for us here. Our minds are too limited and our ability to comprehend is insufficient. We cannot comprehend that. How much it is. Right? Little things that we do here have such a huge effect there. From the height, from understanding this height of life and what we can achieve in the hereafter and the position we can reach in the hereafter by our doings here, we can understand from here, from this point is where the life of this dunya gets its importance. Really, I want you to analyze this, how Allah is making the life here useful. When you look at the length of life, and I say, you know, you will live forever, eternity, what is 60 years, 70 years in comparison to eternity? What is it? It's nothing, right? This is nothing. This life of the world is nothing. That's the real life. It's forever. So when you look at the length of life, dunya and the life of dunya becomes meaningless. It becomes meaningless. And when you look at the height of life, that what you gain there depends everything. You see how Allah is giving us this understanding of life. From here we get the importance of life. That this life here that we have, the few years here that we have, it is an opportunity. It is a chance. One little step here, one little action here can gain us so much ground there. So much ground there. That's why, you know, do you know the reason why Allah gave us intellect? Aql? You know, you hear many hadith, you know, that this is the prophet that Allah gave to you, which is your aql. Helps you to decide between right and wrong. You might have heard that. But let me explain to you in a little, you know, deeper sense as to why Allah gave us aql for. One of the mistakes in regarding understanding intellect or aql that people have made is that they think that aql is what helps us to decide between right and wrong, between truth and falsehood. And Allah did not give us the aql to decide between right and wrong. This is a wrong idea of what intellect is, what intelligence is. Allah didn't give us the intelligence to decide between right and wrong. But many people think that, you know what, you know, we have akal, and that's why, you know, for example, we won't do the wrong thing and we'll do the right thing. Akal Allah did not give us to decipher between heaven and hell, or right and wrong. This is not what akal is there for. Right? And this is what I want you to understand, inshallah, today. Send aloud salawats. My friends, brothers and sisters, let's see. Why did Allah make you intelligent? Was it for you to know the difference between right and wrong, so you can choose right over wrong? Was it because Allah wanted you to see heaven and hell and to choose heaven over hell? No, this is not what the aql is for. Aql is not there to decide between right and wrong. It is there to decide between good and what is the best. Aql has been given to human beings in order that they decide what's the best for them, not what's bad and good for them. You see, if it's winter and it's cold and it's snowing and it's freezing, so if a person in that cold wintry night wears a coat, and if we see him wearing a coat, we don't say, oh man, look at this, he's such an intelligent person, he's wearing a coat. Would we say that? Man, he's so intelligent, he's wearing a coat. Wearing a coat, protecting yourself from harm, is not the sign of intelligence. It means that he's a sensible person, not an intelligent person. Having sense and having intelligence is different. A sensible person protects himself from harm. He protects himself from harm. You see harm and you don't do that. If you see a live wire and you don't go near it, you're not being intelligent, you're being sensible. You're being sensible. Allah gave intellect to human beings. He did not give it to animals. He gave them sense. So animals are sensible. When they see harm, they stay away from harm because they're sensible, not because they're intelligent. Not because, you know, they have akal. They don't do it for that reason. They're sensible, that's why they keep themselves away from harm. Allah made human beings and gave them akal, not because of this. He gave them and said that, listen, I want you to choose the best for yourself. So let me tell you where the akal is applied. Let me give you a real life example first. Simple example. Then I'll give you some ideological examples. Right? First example of akal. You know that it's cold outside, you need a coat. So now when you go to the store to buy a coat, so you look at one coat. Now when you looked at that coat is enough for you to go outside. So if you just buy that coat, what you saw, then you are being sensible. But here is where our akal comes in play. Now you look at that coat and you look at another coat. You look at the fabric, you look at what it's made of, you look at its manufacturer, you look at its price, you look at all these things to see what is the best coat for you to buy. You see, this is where the akal comes in. Akal is not just there for you to buy a coat, but it's there for you to buy the best coat for yourself. This is where the akal comes in. Your intellect Allah gave you for this reason, to choose the best for yourself. To choose what is the best for yourself. That's why He gave you intellect. Otherwise, for Allah to give you the option, He did not give us intellect for us to choose between right and wrong. When you look at every place where Allah warns you about akhirat, or He entices you to Jannat, you see, when He speaks about akhirat, what is He appealing to? Is He appealing to our akal, our intellect, or is He appealing to our sense of fear? When you go in the hereafter, there will be fire. You're like, woo, fire. Is he trying to appeal to our intellect here, or is he trying to appeal to our fear? Look at it. Oh, there'll be scorpions and snakes. You know, hot water, scalding water, the tree of Zakkum. All of these things are like out of a horror movie, you know. The horror movie is there to appeal to our sense of fear so that he can entice our sense of fear to stay away from hell. You don't need to be intelligent to stay away from hell. You just need to be sensible to stay away from hell. Someone who goes to hell is someone who's not sensible, not someone who's dumb or unintelligent. All it requires for you to stay away from hellfire is having a sense. Hey, you know what? I won't go there. Because it's sense that protects you from harm. To Allah, it is wrong for Allah, really, to give this intellect to us so that now we decide between heaven and hell. You see, understand one thing in Islam. And this is where you see many religions, this and that, fail to understand. In the meaning and the definition of what Islam is, in Islam, we have not been created to choose between heaven and hell. Allah did not create us with a choice of heaven and hell, either go to heaven, either go to hell. This is not why He created human beings for. It would be wrong for Allah to do that. It would be wrong for Allah to do that. Let me give you an example so you understand it. Send the loud salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
My friends, understand it this way. You know, I invite you to come home. I invite you, come home. So you came home. You are my guest. Right? You are my guest here. So what do I do? I offer you two drinks. I offer you these two drinks. And I say, listen, this is some juice that is very good. This is juice, really tasty, nutritious, healthy. This is juice. In the other glass is poison. So, whichever you want, you can take. Now, what will you choose? Well, obviously, you will choose. I'll take the juice, thank you, but you offering me poison is awkward. I am your guest, right? You invited me as a guest and you're offering me poison? I mean, would it be right for me as a host to offer you poison? Say that, listen, you drink this, you'll die. And you drink this, you'll live. Is it right for me to do that? You see, it would be wrong for me as a host to invite you as a guest and give you the option between poison and juice. Between poison and water. It's wrong. If we understand it's wrong, then now understand that it is not the Islamic viewpoint or Allah's viewpoint that He invited you and He made you as a guest in this world and He's giving you the choice between heaven and hell. Say, choose between heaven. What do you want? Heaven, thank you, but Allah, it's strange that you offered hell to us. Understand? Allah did not make us to choose between heaven and hell. This is the wrong idea of looking at things. The right way of looking at things is that Allah is saying, I didn't make you to choose between heaven and hell. I made you to choose which part of heaven do you want to go in. Which part of heaven do you want to go? That's what I made you for. I gave you akal for that reason. I gave you intellect for that reason. Choose which part of heaven do you want to belong to. Where do you want? This is what the akal is there for. Choose the best for yourself. And this is why you see when you look at heaven and heaven itself, what part of heaven? Aql is there for that. That's why Allah said, use your aql so you can choose the best for yourself. Our choice that we have is which part of heaven, my friend, not hell. Allah is saying, just be sensible and you don't want to go to hell. Right? Just be sensible and you won't go to hell. But if you use your intellect, then I want you to see which place in heaven you want to belong to. Where do you want to be in heaven? Which place do you want to be in heaven? This is where this striving comes in. This love and passion for choosing the best for ourselves comes in. This dedication and love comes in. That I'm dedicated. I love, I want the best for myself. And there's nothing wrong with that. Wanting the best for yourself. Allah gave you intellect so you want the best for yourself. That you strive for the best for yourself. Akal is that line. Now one more sentence about heaven and inshallah I'll go on. Send aloud salawats. Now, for those people who might not understand what heaven is, let me just tell you about heaven. You know, we have a hadith that says that if you take all of space, meaning all of the space, all the universes, all the galaxies, the Milky Ways, everything. You know how far that is? You know, it is said that the nearest sun, or the nearest galaxy to us, our sun, is like something like 5 million light years away. Now for those who don't know what light years are, it's the speed of light traveling for a year. The speed of light traveling for a year, if it travels 5 million years, then you reach the nearest neighborhood, right, to us. Right? I mean, you know, I mean, we haven't made anything that could go that far. You know, that's really far. And we are very small. Right? We're very small. So if you took all the galaxies and every space that is you could imagine, and let your imagination work as far as it could, all the space that's there, all the galaxies that's there, all the Milky Ways, everything that's there, if you take all of that, in hadith it says, it's not even equal to the floor of heaven. It's not even equal to the floor of heaven. Heaven is that big. Heaven is that big. You know, and the reason Allah made it big is why? Because He says, listen, this earth, this world that you live in is a cramped place. Allah, it's not cramped. 500 million light years is not a cramped place. No, He's saying, but it is cramped. I have made heaven so big because of the fact that it, the akal that I gave you and the intellect that I gave you has an unending potential of reaching greater heights and deeper depths. That's why I made heaven so big so that you can choose which part of heaven do you want to go in. And there's a lot to work for. There's a lot to live for. And there's a lot to strive for. Jannat is something that is unimaginable, but it is so pleasurable that Allah has made it such that we should be just looking at it and saying, you know what? I can reach such a great height there. But Allah is saying, yes, you can reach that great height. Allah, how can I reach that? Now Allah, He puts the punchline in. He says, you can reach that great height in your short tenure here in this world. Right here. Allah, but I'm only here for 40, 50, 60 years old if I'm lucky. And you want me to gain all of that here? Allah is saying, yes. All of that is gained here. I can gain such a great high place in Jannah in this short life? He says, yes. Now imagine how important the life of this world is. My friends, one, this short chance that we have here to attain greatness, to attain an amazing result, is just in this short lifetime that we have, this lifespan that we have here. Use it. Allah is saying, use it. This much, use it. Don't waste your time. Now you can imagine that a mu'min who believes that his life is eternal, but that eternal life is decided by this 50 years, imagine how much importance he will give to this 50 years. He will not be wasting even a minute of that. Not even a second of that. He wants to achieve everything. He wants to utilize every second that I have. I says every second is an opportunity for me. Now imagine a person who has this ideology of life. Now tell me, when is he going to get depressed? When is he going to have his mood off? Knowing that every second counts here. You know, have you ever seen those real life competition shows, you know, where they take you into a grocery store and say, you have 5 minutes. Everything's for free. Go ahead. They give you a card and there you go. Now imagine that 5 minutes we have, that person who's there for 5 minutes. Is he going to just stop around, hang out, waste his time? 5 minutes. He'll be like running around trying to do things. He's in that race. That this is a gold mine and I have only 50, 60 years to gain whatever I can from this. Now understand how important life becomes. How much every small detail in life becomes like that. And where in this life are we going to have time to do anything useless? And God forbid, sin. And disobey Allah in this life. This life that He gave us that is so exciting. This possibility that is so exciting. Every second is there. My friends, this is where the meaning of life in this world also finds its place. This is where you really gain the excitement of life and where life is fun. When you look at it, when you see it the way Allah wants you to see it, then you see, wow, this is life, man. It is great. Life itself is great. This is a beautiful life I have. This is a beautiful chance I have. This is where life finds its true, beautiful meaning. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A small difference, my friends, makes a big... A small step here makes a big difference there. Let me tell you a story. Right? Let me tell you a story. There was this one alim. He had three students. This is a recent story that I heard, you know, from the alim, you know, and he's a very respected alim. I don't want to take his name. He had a dream, and his three students were all good students. They became shaheed. They died in Allah's way, you know, became shaheed. And what happened is that this person, he had a dream, and in that dream, one of the students appeared in his dream. And he asked the student, how are you doing, this and that? He says, oh, we are doing well. You know, shahadat is obviously, this is, you know, again, I'll come to it. Right? But he was really, you know, happy, you know. He said, where are the other two? He says, you know, there's one who's with me. He said, where's the third one? He said, that third one is way up there. What do you mean it's way up there? It's way up. Allah has placed him so high that, you know, I mean, that we can just, you know, I mean, we can't even imagine how high he is. It's not, but all three of you were together and this and that, you became shaheed. And why the difference between the two? So the student said, well, this is what happened. And I want you to understand this. For 2 months in our life, when we were living, for 2 months, we had supported a wrong alim. And because of that, this huge difference. He refused to support because he saw that this is not the right alim to support. Just because of that support, Allah has placed him there and Allah has placed us here. Just because of that little thing, such a big difference has come between us. Every small thing that you do here has a huge consequences there. Huge consequences there. Everything, little thing. We might think it's little. That's why, you know, the akal has been given to us to decide what is the best thing for you to do. But if you are a mu'min, you will ask the right question. You will not ask the wrong question. What is the wrong question? Let me tell you what the wrong question is. A person comes up to, let's say, me, and says, "Maulana, is it halal to have tattoos? Is it halal to wear earrings?" Nah. You see, this is a wrong question. This is not the question of a mu'min, of a believer. Right? The person who asks, "Is it halal or not?" "Yes, it's halal, go ahead." He starts wearing. "Yeah, it's halal to wear, you know, I have tattoos and this and that." You look at fiqh, it's halal. But is that the right question to ask? No, a mu'min's question is different. He comes and says, "Maulana, tell me, is it the best thing for me to do? Is this the best thing for me to do?" Then the answer would be different. No, it's not the best thing for you to do. You see, this is the right question. The mu'min is not looking if it's allowed for him. He's looking if it's the best thing for him to do. Right? Would the Prophet do this? Right? Then I would say, yeah, you know, yes. Now the whole thing becomes different. The answer becomes different. If you ask the right question. If you have the wrong question, you will always get the wrong answer. If you ask the right question, then you will get the right answer. My friends, this is the right way to ask. This is the right way to think in life. What is the best thing for me to do? Is this the way? Is this the best thing for me? This is how you go forward. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. As I said, last point, my friends, is this. This life is a blessing, and a blessing that is so beautiful that, you know, every minute of it is exciting. Every moment of this life is exciting. That's why a mu'min's mind is always working. It's always thinking. And that's why, yes, one of the wrong things to do and very disrespectful thing to do is to ask for death. Is to ask for death. It's one thing that you ask Allah, that Allah, I want to meet you. I want to be there with you. But it's another thing to Allah to say, "Allah, stop this. Allah has given this as a blessing. Every minute you have to cherish it." Yes, the only exception is asking Allah for shahadat, for martyrdom. That's the only exception. Allah, if this is going to stop, it's going to stop with shahadat. Allah, I want to die in your way. I want to die in your place. Because shahadat is that ultimate, you know, for lack of a better word, lottery ticket. That's it. That's it. You know, if there's one thing I want to hit the real gold mine, that's shahadat. Dying in Allah's way for His pleasure. In your way, in your pleasure, so you can be happy with me. If I can do that, if I can achieve that, that is a dua to make. That is a dua to make. Allah, I want to die in your way, that you're happy with me. You're pleased with me. That I worked in your way. This is the only place where it's allowed for you to ask for stoppage of this life. Because you want the ultimate prize. Only because of that. Other than that, this life is, every moment of it is beautiful. Every moment of this is pleasurable and exciting and fun. Every minute we are making our legacy and making our Jannat and our place in Jannat. May Allah give you all the tawfiq and the blessings to be on the right paths and to make us and give us the guidance to understand His paths and to hasten the reappearance of our Imam, to make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhir ad-da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Any questions? Yes, brother.
As you mentioned, that the life hereafter is eternal, forever, infinite. And
life in this world is such a short life that it's not even comparable. It's almost non-existent. So how is it that the quality of our infinite life depends on such an infinitesimal span?
Short span, yes.
I mean, if I were born in a non-believer family, if I were born in a non-believer society, I would probably be, like many others, the same way.
Mm.
How would I be judged forever for this such a short and
right.
things that are, may not be in my control?
Yes. As I said, one of the things in this life, the life of this world, is that every small step here has a big reward there, meaning a big consequence there, right? Now, if you ask me the question about who goes to Jannat, who goes to Jahannam, and why and what, then here's the thing. Allah, He does not reward you for the end result. What He rewards you is for your efforts. Right? لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. The reward of man is for the sa'i, for the effort he put in. So Allah, your birth in a family, in an environment, is jabr, is compulsion. Right? You're born into, let's say, a Muslim family. So you feel yourself lucky. So wherever you're born is your starting line. Wherever you're born is your starting line. If you're born in, for example, a kafir family, so when you're born there, that is your starting line. Allah, His reward, that's why His judgment is so perfect that we cannot comprehend it. Allah's reward is from where you started and till where did you end? How far did you go? For a person who's born in a kafir family, for him to just understand that kufr is wrong, itself is a great journey that he has made. Right? Whereas, for example, if you are born to an ayatollah in his family, his son. So, that's your starting line. Your expectation is to go from there onwards. You see, so what Allah is looking at is that where did you start and where did you end? That's why His judgment is perfect. Right? We will not be able to judge people. Yes, we live according to what is zahir, apparent. He's Muslim, he's kafir. Alright, we do that. But when Allah judges, it's different. Who's a mu'min, who's not? That's Allah who's going to decide that. So the fact is that the journey that you take in life, right, you will be rewarded for those things, no matter what background you're in, no matter where you're in. Right, He will go according to some people who were raised in a, for example, a very horrible environment, where all they saw was, sin and everything, but they still have aql, they still have that thing that, sense, that stay away from that and choose the best. If they choose that and make their effort to, to come as further as they can, then it is Allah, is up to Allah to see how much they did and what they are going to get. But no one will be unjustly dealt with by Allah. So that's one other question that might be in the minds of people when you ask me the question. But now let's see about this. The other question that you asked, is the fact that how is it that, for example, we only live here 50 years, but we'll be rewarded for that many years? Or, for example, we do sin for this many years, we are punished for eternity. Well, here, number one, the first principle is that the reward or punishment is never equal to the crime or good deed. Never equal in terms of time. A person, for example, went into a store and held up the store with a gun and went away. His crime was 2 minutes. He gets jail for 20 years. Armed robbery. Right? Now, is it just 20 years equal to 2 minutes? They should put him in jail for 2 minutes also, because his crime was for 2 minutes. You understand that? The idea of reward and punishment when it comes to time is never equal. It would be unjust. Okay, you know, this person, for example, raped a woman, right? 15-minute crime, and you're going to put him in jail for 15 years. He'll say, well, you know, you should put me in jail for only 15 minutes. See, it's wrong in that way. So that's the first principle, understand it, right? Second thing, Allah bases reward and punishment on niyat. On niyat. Right? He bases it on that. On your reasoning. So, for example, you have a mu'min. A mu'min prays. Now, he starts to pray at night and he wants to pray the whole night. After 1 hour, he is tired. His physical ability doesn't allow him to go on. But his niyat is to pray all night. So, Allah says, Al-Amal bin Niyat. His niyat was all night, I will give him reward all night, because he wanted to pray all night. A kafir goes to the bar, has a peg, two, three. After the fifth, sixth peg, you know, that's it, you know, he can't take it. He starts throwing up. His physical restriction doesn't allow him to drink anymore. He's unable to. His physical restriction. But if you look at his niyat, he wants to drink all night. Right? So the issue is this, that when a person wants to obey Allah forever, Allah will reward him forever. A kafir is someone who had enough chances that now he has made his mind that I want to disobey God forever. So when he made that niyat forever, so Allah is going to also say, chashm, you know, go ahead. Have your way. So obviously this is why. Right? And so I think this will make you, and if you reflect on it, it will make sense. Right? In that way. Any other questions? The width, inshallah, I'll come to that. That's coming. Right? Inshallah. As I said, right? You know, I have to leave some things as a suspense. You know? If I say everything the first day, you know, second day, everyone will be like, well, he said everything the first day, so. But inshallah, you know, it'll come in its time. I want to explain it step by step so people can have a good understanding of life, and inshallah, help, it will help us, you know, to lead a better life, inshallah. Any other questions? Sisters, have any questions? I'm not going to say alhamdulillah. Huh? Alright, brothers, no? Alhamdulillah. That's good then, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala.